Blog Talk Radio. into your garden, come into your garden, so come into your good evening. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network, where we do it more than we talk about it. I've been reading two different books of the Bible. But before I speak about that, I wanted to talk about wisdom. Wisdom, many people misunderstand what wisdom is. And they think that, because somebody speaks a lot of godly words, or, you know, knows all the cliches, it sounds like they know what God is saying. And it's not voicing what you've heard in the Bible. Wisdom is taking what you've learned from the Word of God and applying it into your own life. And you are an example of wisdom when you do that. So we need to understand a wise person isn't a person that just opens their mouth to give, you know, things about God, but they don't have any understanding how to live it. They don't live it. They don't live what God says in his word. And that is not a wise person. So welcome. Today is March 9th, 2024. And I want to say I'm Carmen, and I'll be your host tonight. was reading the book of Exodus, Exodus 35, the chapter 35, and it was talking about the Sabbath regulations that God was giving Moses to his people, to the congregation. And I was comparing that scripture with 2 Kings 11. And there are some similarities there. But first let me talk about Exodus. God assembled all the congregation of the sons of Israel. In this portion, it's describing how the assembly of Israel had to work together to build the tabernacle. These were what described in the different portions of Scripture. The first portion, it talks about the Sabbath regulation. Let me go there. Let's see. 2 Kings 11. And let's see. Is it 11? No. No, Exodus. Exodus 35. I'm sorry. Exodus 35. Okay. Well, Moses gathers everybody, and he begins with this first portion of it. It says, 6 days shall you work, the work be done. On the seventh day, there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doth work therein shall be put to death. That's really clear. You know, in those days, if they worked, they were put to death. Today, you may work and you won't be put to death. But if you really take a look at what happens when you don't take that time to rest, to be in God's presence, to spend time with Him, and you're doing all these other things, guess what? You're not in that rest. And you can actually hurt your health. So it is kind of like you're putting yourself to death because you're not obeying what God is saying. And so we need that time of rest to recharge. We need that time of rest to recharge. We can't be tackling the world without knowing what God is saying. Otherwise, we're doing things in our own strength. And God is not pleased with that. That doesn't bring God glory. Well, the second portion was the contributions to for the tabernacle. There, they spoke about, you know, how the money was going to be spent for the tabernacle. Then the second portion was the making of the ark. Then they talked about the making of the table, and then the making of the lamp, the lampstand, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, the bronze basin, the making of the court. So everything had specific details. And we had studied this some years back, the tabernacle. So everything had details about how God wanted things done. We also see that these things are to be taken in our church today. God has specifics. Each person has a part in building in the assembly, in things in the assembly. There were some that hammered the metal, some that sewed, the women sewed, some led, there were priests. Everybody had a part. There were things to be done. But as it is, it was God permitted it to be done as what was in their hearts to do. God didn't force anybody to do it. If it was in their hearts to do it, you know, he accepted that help. Yes, he did call those that were to be priests, and that's like the fivefold ministry today. Their calling was by God. That was different. That wasn't from what was coming. Well, you do have to have a desire in your heart, you know, wanting to do it, but this is different. And so there's different people, different positions that all don't require the same thing. But we are all required to listen to the Lord and do as God says. But the rest had a choice in what was in their hearts to do. He did inspire some to teach what they knew, to teach their craft to others. So it talks about that in that chapter. And I was like, why was that in there? You know, so we just think that we all have to be fivefold ministry, and it doesn't mean that we all have to be fivefold ministry. There are important parts in the body, in the congregation, that are needed, that are required. And so those that knew how to sew, they make the curtains. I noticed a certain detail in the making of the curtains, that everything done and created and built was had a purpose, it had a design. The lamps had a design on them, and figures and everything, and it made it look seamlessly, like all those parts of that lamp stand had different details to it, but it was like seamless. It just all came together as one. And that's what there was a purpose in that. It was showing unity, that the whole thing was one piece, when in fact it wasn't. It was all put together, and then it was made to look like it was all one. The curtains were made individually, but they were all set up together to make it look like it was one whole thing. It was one big piece, and it wasn't. But that was God's plan, because he wanted to show that whatever we put together, we're all different pieces put together, and we are all one. We work as one. And so God, and all he asks us to do is to come forth as one in unity. We may be individuals, but when we come together, we come as one. Every person's talents, giftings, they're all for the kingdom of God. Everything's important. Everyone is important. So let me go back to what I was first, what was first required. The Sabbath. The Sabbath is for man. For man to separate themselves in, onto God, to rest, not only physically, but spiritually. When we violate what God puts in place, we hurt ourselves. We may not be put to death, but we put ourselves to death. Our spirit man dies. Our physical man dies. You know, and that's not what God wants. He wants us to listen so that he can bless us, not only physically, but spiritually. When we violate these, what God says and he puts in place, we hurt ourselves. Those that didn't do this face death. Today, people work. They work all day, every day, 12 hours a day, because they need to make the money. It's no wonder they face death. It's no wonder they hurt themselves. They hurt their bodies. They hurt their health. And sometimes it may be to a point of no return. You know, how many people haven't had heart attacks because of the stress of work? They don't take that time to refresh, to restore themselves. Always putting out and not allowing their bodies to be restored, their soul, their spirit to be replenished. You have to take time to rest. Rest, resting the body, resting the soul, that your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's no wonder we're facing a pandemic of anxiety, of fear, of sicknesses. People's emotions are all over the place. You can see it on the highways. People are angry. Why? Because they're not seeking God. And they're nervous, and, you know, but when they get to that point, they run to people expecting them to be understanding, or for them to be able to help them some way. Nobody can help you. The only one that can help you is God. He will restore you to the place you need to be. Think about it. Could that anxiety be what that's not letting you sleep, or not telling you, not letting you hear from God for your life, because you're just doing, and you're not spending time with God? You're not hearing God's voice clearly, and no wonder people keep making mistakes, and they keep going over and over the mountain again because they are not learning the lessons that they need to learn. So God, there's an order for what God has to build the temple. We now are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There has to be an order in our lives. when you can't hear him, you can't serve him correctly. You end up doing your will and not God's. You end up being disobedient. And I don't mean for you to get religious and start doing your day of rest religiously, but for you to, in everything you do, do it seeking God. Spend time with God. That's rest. People don't get what that restful time is. You know, the Jews on Saturday evening, Friday evening to Saturday evening, they say the word Shabbat Shalom, you know, peace in your Shabbat. And we have, in order for you to have success, you have to let God lead you and you have to obey. If you are wise, you will listen and you will implement what God says to do. Then when you begin hearing God, you'll see where he wants you, what part of his kingdom he wants you to be. He'll inspire you, but ultimately you're the one that has to say yes. Or no, and you say no by not obeying. No, well, I haven't said no to that. Yeah, when you're not doing what he says, yes, you're saying no. Make no mistake, you will be blessed in saying yes. But if you don't, he will find another to take your place. The work will continue with or without you. Let's look at what Jehoash did. He was only 7 years old when he became king. His mother was a wicked woman, and she got slain. She got killed. She did her own thing. Well, it says at the end of chapter 2, 2 Kings 11, the last scripture, it says 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign, only 7 years old. And he did good things. He did many good things in the sight of the Lord. The priest, Jehoiada, all these names, the priest instructed him. So it was the priest at an early age was telling him what God wanted. And he reigned, and he was instructed by a priest, and he let this king let the priest know that they had certain things that they had to do that they weren't doing. But one thing that I noticed on verse 3, it says, but the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And I started looking at other scriptures that said the same thing. They did not remove the high places. They did a lot of good stuff, but it was what they thought. The people continued to sacrifice in those altars, but he did good things. So let me ask you something. What altars are you sacrificing an offering on today? Is it the altar of entertainment, of music, of pleasure, everything except God? We don't physically do like they did in those days, but we do have altars, and they're mainly in our hearts. It's hard for us to give to the ministry that feeds you. Sometimes people are like, you know, they don't give anything, and because it's what's in their heart. Well, here on PGN, none of the hosts here take a salary. We all do it for the love of God, for the kingdom, and for his people. We do it because we love God first. It takes money to keep a ministry going. Okay, and I say that, but I want you to understand that it's not the money that's going to keep the ministry going. It's God. Those that are obedient to do what God says, that's the true kingdom. You know, there's things in the physical that, yes, they need our attention. But Without obedience, everything else is nothing. And so let's look at what Jehoash did to remedy what was going on in the temple. Let's see. So he started looking at what the kingdom was. It was about 24 years into his reign. And he started noticing, he said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated thing is brought into the house of the Lord when the money of everyone that passes the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. So there was three different ways that money was coming in. The things that were dedicated for certain things that came in, like through the sacrifices. Money came in by the hands of people that were holding the temple. And other money came in because of what men were giving out of their hearts. So there was different ways that the avenue of money was coming into the temple. And so he says, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house wheresoever any breach shall be found. In other words, the temple needed repairing, so they needed to find where these repairs needed to be. And that was good. That was good that he did that. But if you read, God is very detailed why he says things. And so they're giving an account of what this king was doing, and he did a good thing. But the thing that I'm getting from this is that, okay, they had money for all of that, but what God was noticing was that the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burn incense in the high places. So here they're building, but the thing that they needed to pay attention to was the high places. So I know of a person who has been prophesied much over, and somebody else confirmed to this person that they were supposed to do a certain thing in the church that this person was supposed to be leading. And this person is still waiting, hoping that others will follow, but that's not the way things work. You can't put your eyes on what others will do. You have to move, and then God will work things out as you are obedient. This person is not being obedient and blames others for the things that are not moving. I remember this one lady pastor, she used to come on the TV. I don't know if she still does or not. She should be in her 90s. Her name was Marilyn Hickey. And I remember that years ago, she had mentioned that there was a need in the church, that they needed money. And so she knew in her heart who was going to help with the supplying of the money to get that done. There was a rich lady in her church, and she put her eyes on that rich lady. But God corrected her and told her no. And the lady did not give any offering. So she was really mad at this lady because she expected that she had the money to pay for the cost of repairing whatever it was that they needed at that time. And so God had to teach her a lesson that it was depending on him, that he would be the one to supply everything, not to put your eyes on man, but to put your eyes on God, who is the one that's going to get things done. So this lady that I'm talking about says she's called, but there's no movement. And the word of God says many are called, but few are chosen. That's not going to expect from you what others have. He'll give you what you need as you move. This lady is looking at in other directions for things to happen in order for her to move in and happen. And then the church is dwindling down to maybe two people in the church right now. And so they say that they're wonderful and this is their calling and this and that, but they're not being obedient. That person is not being wise. They can give the good talk, but they're not doing the walk. So God will bring what you need as you rest in Him. God wants us to be responsible with whatever He puts in your hands to take care of it. Whatever, even paying your taxes. God told Peter to pay his taxes, right? And so if in the little you're not responsible, how do you expect God to give you more when you're looking onto other people to meet the needs that a church may have? No, you move forward in faith and God will help you. And so, but you also have to be in order, because you can't be out of order and then want to bring order in other people's lives. That's not right either. Some want to do great things for God, but can't be responsible to pay their own taxes. And not that, you know, it doesn't make any sense, but God wants us to be responsible. So those that are looking at us will see that we're responsible in our things and we're responsible in the things of God. You have to have order in your life before you can try bringing that order onto others. You have to be that example. High places were not removed by many of the kings. Today, what can we take away from these high places? Is that human beings' hearts tend to be a place for idols. When there are idols in our hearts, we find things in it that should be filled with God. To remove the high places means to remove those things that endanger us from when we worship something other than God. We may not go to sacrifice on a pagan altar, but we sure can find our thoughts and our actions in things other than God. God doesn't want that. God wants us to run to Him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added, right? Wherever you spend your time and money, that's where your God is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So what a person values most is where his heart is. Are you spending it where, you know, oh, no, well, I can't go to church because I have to do this, or I have to be with my family, or I have to, you know, everything else but God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He'll show you how to live your life. And this is the error that I see this king, Jehoash. He did really good stuff to repair the breaches in the temple, but the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. And when God sent these kings to demolish these high places, it wasn't that these idols were anything, but He wanted to make sure people would not go in and mix their beliefs with the things of what they used to believe in. So they had to be demolished. They were nothing, but God had to make sure, because the people would go back to it. So once they were demolished, they were demolished. So, therefore, if a man values Christ above everything else, they will stay focused on this for eternity. And the treasure they store up in it will be in Christ. And that treasure will be stored up in heaven where no one can steal it. The days are growing dark. People are trying to find ways to have money. Buying gold and storing it in a safe place where they're not going to have their things stolen. Hey, idols, if you don't put God first, all that stuff is nothing. Money and earthly riches can be considered an idol. Think about the things we value, our time, our attention. our actions, our energy. That what a person values and loves most in life will influence how you live, how you choose. And you're either choosing God or you're choosing these things. You want riches and love, then you'll pursue things and people. And you'll go after these things instead of God. I've learned that neither buildings or money or any of that means nothing if God isn't in it. If God hasn't given it to me, then it comes with sorrow. But if God gives it to me, he's going to give me with blessings. It's going to be a blessing to me. So don't run after these things. Run after God. And if God gives it to you, he's blessed people in the word with things, with riches and honor and all these things. But it's for a purpose when they put him first. In God's temple, you can't have idols and God at the same time. You can't do both. You can't have the idols and you can't have God. That's why God had them demolish these high places. Because people will get confused and they would have a mixture. And that's not what God wants. He doesn't want us to mix any of his ways with other beliefs. Because have you seen a glass of water? Have you ever dropped a drop of poison in it? Is it any good after that? A little drop can ruin the whole glass of water. It's not drinkable anymore. If you're going to restore a home, if you're going to repair the breaches of the house, if you're going to repair and bring things in order, you need to allow God first in. Because otherwise, you're doing it in your own strength. You're doing things backward. It has to be done from the inside out, from your heart, and then it takes place in your life. So I always play that song because God's work starts from the inside. Dealing with these high places and taking them away so that the people wouldn't sacrifice and burn incense in those high places was dealing what was on the inside. What's on in the inside of your heart that belongs to God, that you're giving it away to where it shouldn't be? All right. So then everything else will have meaning. Otherwise, there used to be an African pastor that I had. He would always stand up and he would always quote the scripture. They that labor will labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builder labor in vain that build it. He would always say that in his little African accent. We still keep in contact. Just the other day I spoke with his wife, and that scripture came up to my thoughts. He would always say that. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor in vain that build it. If you're not letting God build your life, then it's useless. You're laboring in vain. You're working in vain. Whatever you do, if God is not in it, you waste your time doing it. And my Brooklyn accent came out a little bit. So Jehoash did a lot of good things, but he didn't deal with the high places. He didn't take them away. And because of it, the people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. You can't repair the breaches of a temple. You are the temple now. So just like he did, don't do the outside. Don't go through the motions. Don't be religious. Otherwise, you're working from the outside in, and that's not going to work. Because the high places are still there. We got to deal with those high places and knock them out. Totally knock them out. Jehoash did good, but he didn't ask God what to do. He did things his way. He told the priest what to do. And so I leave you with that tonight. I hope you meditate on that. Putting God first, separating time. Spend time with resting in the Lord, the Sabbath rest. Spend time. Are you resting every week? spending time with the Lord, or are you doing your own thing? It says that they receive death, but you can receive death, your spiritual death, your physical death. How many people doing, don't get sick? We don't want you to get sick. We want you to be wise people for the kingdom of God so you can do more. And so I leave you with that, and I'll be taking calls tonight. If you want to be ministered to tonight, please raise your hand by dialing 1 on the keypad, and that'll put you into the queue. All right, let's see. Let me turn this here. All right, my first caller, 251-229, your name and where you're from.
Yes, hi, Prophetess Carmen. This is Sarah calling from Alabama.
Sarah from Alabama. All right, Sarah. All right, give me a minute, and I'll put you on mute, and I'll pray for you and come back. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Sarah from Alabama. Sarah, I'm sensing that your eyes, you're opening your eyes to certain things, and you're seeing things in a different way that you have never seen before. It's almost like an awakening where your eyes are wide and open. I mean, your spiritual eyes are wide open. And so I see you with your eyes open, and you're noticing the things that you've done before that have not worked. And I see you it's like an awakening, and you're understanding certain things, and you're asking, I see you asking the Lord, well, okay, what do I do now? And you've asked the Lord in certain things, but this time your heart is like, the eyes of your heart are seeing things differently. And so you are understanding, you can't go around doing this again, that things have to change, and the only way they're going to change is with God. So I sense that there's that knowing. I sense that knowing. It's almost like I'm looking at you, and I see like your eyes are wide, and you're looking, and you're like, "Wow, I didn't," you know, like you're in shock that you didn't realize this before. And so it's you're coming into a new place where you know this can't happen again, that you know that the reason why all this has happened is because God was left out in the equation. And you didn't realize that it was that way, but you do now. And so I thank you, Lord, for the opening of her eyes, her spiritual eyes. I thank you, Lord, because as she seeks your face and seeks your ways, you're going to guide her even still more. And there's going to be more of those wow moments. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life, because it's almost like, I know you're older, but it's almost like you've come to a place of maturity where, you know, we all have those places. Some places in our lives we mature more than others, but there are some things that are like, immature. That's the perfect word that I want to say. It sounds, you know, rough, but it's like, you know how a teenager, when they come to the realization that what they believed was right, and then they come into that point where they're like, oh no, and they mature, and they realize, and the parents will see it, and there'll be a turnaround because it hits them. They realize. And so that's what I'm seeing in you, that you're getting those a lot of aha moments, those moments where you're like, wow, I didn't realize that's what was going on. And so you're not going that route anymore in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you, Lord, for Sarah, for the direction you're You're taking her in. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Sarah.
Amen, Prophetess Carmen. Amen. Everything is wow. I mean, everything from the lesson and the... Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Okay. Because sometimes it goes off. From the lesson and from everything that's going on tonight, it's like wow and wow. I'm excited and it's wow. I can't even express it. How God is using you to teach the masses. Like everybody who comes on is getting a lesson. They're getting something from God through you. And God is using you to teach others that, hey, it's time to come to the Lord. It's time, and if it's, you know, it's way through PGN or, you know, it's just getting ready to learn because we need to learn in the end days, especially, you know. Even if it's just sitting down or just taking time out, because believe it or not, I'm going to share this with you. I was running with my daughter, and she's 22, right? And all of a sudden, I mean, the car stopped. And I told my sister, I said, it's kind of like a good car. What happened? And my sister said, you know, sometimes God allows things to stop so you can rest, so you can rest in him. And I was like,
wow.
And then just to hear you say that tonight is confirmation.
Yeah, God doesn't want us to keep running and not realizing, hey, stop, listen to me. I got something for you. But while we're doing, we're wasting our energies. We're building with our own strength. It's simple. If we build, then it doesn't happen. But if we allow God to do it, then it'll come to pass. It's like that little scripture that pastor used to tell all of us when he would preach. It was, I think it was one of his favorite scriptures. Unless the Lord builds the house, it's builders labor in vain that build it. It's not going to be done right. It's going to fall. It's going to be on sand, right? And so
right. It's
simple. I mean, the flesh doesn't want it, doesn't want to spend time with the Lord. But that's where we're going to get our information from the Lord, from heaven. It's going to be downloaded. But if you're not spending time to download it, then you're not going to know how to do it. You're going to be going round and round and round and round and a lot of wasted time. And, you know, teenagers do that, right?
Right.
You know, but then they come to the realization, wait a minute, this is not working. What am I doing wrong? And so you have to have some introspection and realize, okay, God, what am I doing wrong? But that's wisdom. All right, let's see what you're saying in your word. Okay, I'm going to apply what you say. That's wisdom. Not talking about, you know, the things of God. You know a lot of people that know a lot of cliches from church and all this stuff and blah, 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 blah. But they're not doing what they're supposed to do. Like that lady that I'm talking about, they've called her to be one of the pastors. And she's waiting on everybody else. And she knows a lot of cliches, but her life is out of order. There's not anything in her life. She's expecting everybody to take over for her to do stuff, for her to have stuff, looking towards other people. And other people can't help us. Other people can't help us. God can help us. And when God helps us, he may use somebody. But it's not the other way around. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, yeah, and resting in the Lord. What's in our thoughts? What shouldn't be there? What's in our hearts? What shouldn't be there? Are we spending the time, our time with the Lord? Are we spending it on other things? Our actions, our energy. What a waste of time. I know that I've wasted time. And I know that it is better with the Lord. And you do, what is that saying that this one sister always reminds Prophet Randy? Working less and gaining more or something like that. You know, and that's exactly what we gain more when we do less. We spend time with the Lord. We do a lot more. And, you know, it's like I remember this one man giving his testimony that he was working with antennas and all this stuff, really expensive ones. And there was this one man that needed someone to come and fix their antenna. And so they had other people come, and nobody knew how to fix the antenna. It was one of those business big antennas. So he comes in, and he says, Lord, what's going on here? What is wrong with this, you know? And so they hired him. And so he goes, and God tells him exactly what the problem was. And it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't an expensive thing. I think it maybe was a screw or something. And he did the job, and they paid him big bucks. They paid him big bucks. This man is a businessman. I think his name is Michael Gallagher, and he gives that testimony. I remember him giving that testimony. He said things like that, when he took the time to rest in the Lord and spend time with God, that God would give him these God ideas. And that can be for anything, for your marriage, for your ministry, for whatever your life is needing. When you seek God first and you build your life on God and allowing him to lead you and direct you, but if you're not spending that time in that resting in him, I mean, he could just drop one word and bam, it hits you. You're like, wow. And sometimes, you know, you can be there studying and you're okay. And then, like, I was reading and I was reading all this, but then it hit me. I saw that scripture, and I said, wait a minute, that scripture is in over here in 1 Kings 15, 14, 2 Kings 14, 4. What is, there is something about this that these kings missed the point. They kept forgetting about the high places. They did a whole bunch of other good stuff, but they didn't deal with the high places. And that has to do with internal stuff, with what's in your heart, where God should be. And so he dropped that in my spirit because I took the time to rest in him. See, and he can do that for anything else. So working less and making more, I can't remember. It's something that Prophet Randy says all the time, that he gets reminded of that, you know, where he said that one time in a meeting, he was praying about it, and everybody looked at him like strange, and then they were all asking for the same thing. So, yeah, that's, you know, it all ties in together with the same thing. So, well, I'm glad that you're getting confirmation of what you need to know. We have to stop everything in order to move. Otherwise, we're moving in vain.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to stop.
He had to stop it. Yeah, so I'm just glad the Lord. I'm just so glad that I listened to you, listened to the Word of God, and it is, I'm telling you, amazing. Because it became confirmation, you know? So I'm just glad, you know, Prophetess Carmen, that I listen to you, listen to the Word of God, and it is not in vain, and I just love it.
Well, amen. I pray that you're a wise woman and that you apply what God says. Amen?
Amen.
Is there anything you'd like to have prayer about or anything you want to say in particular before I move on to the next caller?
Well, yeah, I just wanted prayer for my daughter Leah. She's going to be, you know, she's going further into the nursing program, and it's kind of challenging, you know, in that regard, and she's going to be going further into it. So, and for me, as far as health and wellness, and that's it.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift up Sarah. We ask you, Father God, that you give her the wisdom that she needs to maintain her health. Help her, Father God, guide her. You know exactly how she needs, what she needs to do. And so we ask you, Father God, that she as she spends time with you, resting in you, that you will speak to her. And Lord, for her daughter and her nursing program, Lord, we just pray, Father God, the same, that you would help Leah, Father God, to realize that seeking you first, seeking your kingdom and realizing what's in her heart and the things that need to be God in her heart, that you would help her, Father God, to clear the temple of her body, of her spirit man, in the things of God, to do some spiritual cleaning, to remove some things, those high places, so that she can have the true space, that true high place for God instead of for other things that really don't do anything for her. So I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, guide her, lead her, give her more of you. Help her, Father God, to spend that time with you, to make that time for you. And so we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen. And may the Lord continue to bless you, Prophetess Carmen.
Thank you. God bless you. I hope you have a great week and that the words that were spoken today, that they will help you to reach more of God in your life. All right? So you have a great week.
Okay. Thank you. Love you, Prophetess Carmen.
Love you. Love you, too. Bye-bye. All right, 442-242, your name and where you're from.
It's Sonya and Dee. I don't know where she went. I'm right here.
Hello, how are you?
Well,
God bless you.
God bless you.
How are you?
Good, and you? Well, let me put you on mute, and then I'll pray for you, and then we'll come back. I'll come back. All right. Thank you, Lord, for our sister, Sonia, Andy. Father God, we just thank you, Father God, for sister Sonia, Father God. I sense, Lord, that thank you, Lord. What, you know, when I started mentioning your name, I saw dreams. The word dream. I sense that the Lord is going to give you more dreams, vision and dreams. In the coming days, he's going to give you dreams, vision and dreams. But, you know, mainly that word dream is what I saw. So I would have a notebook next to my bed. So when you wake up in the morning and you have dreams, that you write it down, that you write down the details. Because, you know, sometimes when we don't write things down, as the day goes by or the weeks go by, we kind of forget the details of what God was telling us and the message he was trying to give us. So I see that God has these dreams that he's going to be giving you. And so be ready for that, to write them down and be prayerful as you write them down, and also ask the Lord to give you the interpretation of them. And so I'm sensing that for you, Sister Sonia. And Father, for Sister D, Lord, I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. I see hands giving unto you. I see there's hands giving you certain things that you need, and they're going to come from the least likely places. The Lord is going to give you things. Whatever it is that you're praying about, the God is going to supply that. So I see hands giving onto you. I see hands giving onto you. So not that you look at the people, but realizing that God is the one that moves the heart to move on your behalf. So we thank you, Lord, for that, for Sonia and Dee. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, how are you?
I'm blessed. Sister Carmen.
Yes.
You know what? Thank you, thank you, thank you. The other night, I had a dream about my godson. Then I woke up, I went back to, you know, and I was, wow, Lord, that's awesome. So I went back to sleep. I had the same dream over.
Oh, wow.
This happened 7 different times. I've never had a dream 7 times the exact same way, or
whoa,
God would add something more. And in my dream, I knew, I said, Pastor Adrian, I said, in this dream, I was dreaming that I was telling him what I dreamed. Anyway, I did that up to 7 times in a row. So I called him and I said, I don't know, I ain't never done that before my entire life. Maybe if I dream something that came to pass, it'd be like 2 times or maybe 3. I said,
well,
so
you know, pray about what it is that you're supposed to be praying about it, because apparently there's some instructions in that dream. So be prayerful about it and ask the Lord, okay, Lord, you know, sometimes our dreams are very clear. And if you're seeing the person, that means that it's for that person. Pray in tongues.
Amen. And anyway, and you said that to me. And the thing about it, I said, Lord, I want the interpretation of dreams. And I want the gift of prophecy, not for myself, Lord, but to edify the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Corinthians, after the chapter 11, it's talking about, yea, though people speak in tongues, he said, it's better to rather prophesy and edify the body of Christ or edify the church. So that's what I've been praying for. And you said dreams and visions. Hallelujah.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
And
yes, ma'am. So,
IS told me that the other day. Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
And so,
get a notebook. Get a notebook and write it down.
Yeah. Okay.
And pray over what you've written down and ask the Lord to, you know, give you, you know, interpretation of what it is that he wants you to pray about or what you what he wants you to do. Just seek him. Seek him and he'll show you.
Amen? Okay. I'm going to let speak, and then if you won't, I'll pray for you.
Oh, we can always use prayer and always include Prophet Randy and all the ministers in your prayers as you pray for us, okay?
Okay.
You wanted to pray now or what?
Yeah, I'm going to pray.
Okay, go ahead.
Lord, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to anoint Prophetess Carmen, Lord, with everything she say and do, Lord. Bring it to pass as people receive her prayer, her vision, her knowledge that you're giving her. And Lord, we ask you in advance to restore her strength tonight. Lord, there's some things that she's been desiring for a little while, Lord. I'm asking you to open up the floodgates of heaven. I'm asking you to pour out these blessings and do it in front of her enemies, that the enemies will be provoked to serve you, Lord, not to make them jealous, but to make them call upon you. Lord, we're asking you to answer her prayers from every situation. Lord, we ask you to cover her by the blood every time she go in and out, Lord. You bless her coming in and going out. And Lord, bless her with the money that you promised her. And Lord, it's been some years. She's got overdue rewards. She got even the gift of helping people, not just by her word, but Lord, she desires to do things for people that help them. I don't know where that's coming from, but Lord, you do whatever she asks. She is your daughter. You chose her before the foundation of the world. So we're asking you right now, everything that she put before you, all the promises that you granted her, let them come to pass, because they are overdue rewards. We thank you right now for widening her gifts, taking her places she's never been, countries she's never been to, but desire to go. Lord, you have people wherever she go. We're asking you to bless her right now. Bless her above what she can think of, what she can have. And Lord, we know the prophetess and prophets, they can ask you some things, but we're asking you to take her above, do above what she think her ask. Amaze even her, Lord. And we will give your name glory, honor, and praise. Would she do that anyway? But Lord, we thank you right now. We ask you to bless everyone she can to, because she is a light to them. And Lord, there's many of her relatives going to get saved because of her. And she don't even know it yet.
Amen. Thank you so much. And I recommend that you all continue praying for Prophet Randy. He carries a lot of the ministry that God will always be there leading and guiding.
And Lord,
yes, ma'am. What were you going to say?
Lord, right now, touch Prophet Randy. Lord, you strengthen him. You see he's up in that age. But there ain't no age concerning you, because you are his God. We thank you for Providence LaShawn. We're asking you to strengthen her. Bless all of them that help out on the prayer lines. We ask you to bless them above. And Prophet Randy, Lord, the vision that he's given about the Antichrist, about people need to open up their eyes, Lord. Don't let them be discouraged. Let them keep going forward with it, Lord. People need to hear that word. We thank you for the word that Prophet Carmen brought tonight. Lord, let people take heed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, you have a great week, sister, and thank you for calling in, and we're always appreciative of your prayers. And remember, write it down, write your dreams down, and continue praying about what it is that God is giving you, okay?
Okay, and don't forget about Sister D.
Yes, I did pray for her. I did pray for her. All right. Well, God bless you.
God bless you, and I love you.
I love you, too. Bye-bye. All right. 804-218, your name and where you're from. 804-218. Hello? I heard something, but I can't hear you.
It's Angie.
Oh, Sister Angie. All right. I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord, for Sister Angie, Father God. I thank you, Lord. For the connection. I sense that God is making a clear connection. Sometimes over time, like you know, like a telephone connection over time, you get used to it and you hear static in there, but you don't realize that the connection is old. And so I sense that God is making reconnecting a new connection where you're going to be hearing him loud and clear, and you're not going to hear that static that you had before. And so I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Sisters Angie's spirit, man, because you're going to reconnect with new hearing, with new clearness, Father God, in the connection. And so we thank you, Lord, because she's going to hear you loud and clear for the connections in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for those new connections in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sister Angie, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Sir, I have my friends.
Go ahead.
Maybe that'll be better. My friends went to Israel, so I told them when they went to pray at the wall to pray for me too. So I get double prayer today.
The connections were even better, huh?
Oh, yeah. I hope so. got clarity. You know where's got to know.
Yeah, I just, you know, all of a sudden I heard that, I saw that, reconnect. So, I don't know, God is doing something that's helping you to hear clearly. You've gotten so used to a certain way, but he's going to give you a different connection where you're going to hear him clearer. I don't know what that's all about. I don't know what you're doing. So, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I've been praying for some godly connections. So excited that you prayed what you prayed. Looking forward to it.
There you go. That's probably it. The connection. It's like, oh, there's something about when we have godly connections, it's almost like, ooh, it makes things, there's synergy going on, and it's like, ooh, you hear God clearer. It's amazing. I love it. I love it when I'm with my sisters praying and things like that. There's nothing like it. It's because of the unity. So there you go, divine connection. You got it. Is there anything you'd like to say or ask for prayer for tonight?
No, I just called in to get prayer and to have alignment with my people. You're one of my people.
Yes. Yes. Have you learned anything new with herbs or things like that?
Well, I've been blending oils. I have, I looked up what is it called? Let's see. It's,
let me go into the kitchen. I forgot what it's called. Its nickname is called Shining Horse. It was an army. I think it was Alexander the Great that was conquering in the Chinese area, and they left some horses behind, and because they were so unusable, so they just abandoned them in a field, and it's called sea buckhorn, but it was called Shining Horse because when they came back through, all the horses were vibrant, revitalized, and their coats were beautiful.
Oh, wow.
So I've been trying to see buckhorn. So I'll have to give you an update on that. But it actually,
what is spearmint tea good for?
Huh?
What is spearmint tea good for?
Spearmint helps with TOF in women that have the hair growth on their chin and on their, you know, over their lips and stuff. One of the things that it's good for, the spearmint oil.
Does that control the testosterone hormone or something?
I don't know if it affects the, it's an oil that you can rub that probably affects more of the hair follicle.
But the spearmint tea helps you with aids and digestion. It helps you with indigestion.
Okay.
It's a good.
So the oil, you put it on the face, and it's supposed to control the hairs on the face?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Because a lot of women have, you know, hair growth on their chin when they get older, that helps eliminate it. I'm experimenting. I don't know if it's true or not.
No, I've heard something about that. That's why, you know, when I'm talking to you, I saw the word spearmint, and I heard something about it, but I'm not sure about, you know, what it completely does. But I thought the hairs on the chin had something to do with testosterone. Maybe an imbalanced hormone?
It may assist in that. I've added the AIDS, and it's good. It has a good flavor to it.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that's nice.
Remember the spearmint commercial, double the fun. It may help make twins. Who knows?
It may have other blessings using it. So yeah.
I've been taking Rhodiola, which is a stress reliever. You know how your body
say
gets
that again?
Stress. Rhodiola.
Rhodiola.
Yeah.
Tincture. I learned that magnesium. All magnesium is not alike. They're not all the same.
There's eight different kinds of magnesium. A citrate. citrate is more of a laxative effect, and your digestive aid patient.
There's one for mental clarity, isn't there?
Yeah, I'm not sure which one that is right off the bat. There's so much in my head with the different ones, I have to almost go back and reread. But magnesium, there's so many different ones. But if you get liposomal type of vitamin C, it's almost as good as getting it in an IV.
Yeah, I've heard that vitamin C in an IV is really good. Some even dentists use it. Instead of using antibiotics, they use vitamin C in intravenous.
It's the liposomal vitamin C, and it's like 80. It absorbs like 80% in your body. You know, when you have an IV, it's directly blood contact. But if you get the liposomal type of vitamins, your body recognizes it and takes it in like you're getting them in the IV. So it's a higher grade of way of taking vitamins.
They say that the vitamin C also intravenously also helps for oh, my goodness, it just slipped my mind.
Sepsis. It takes...
Gout.
It's a blood clot.
For gout. People that have really painful gout, they take vitamin C, high doses of it. There's a certain dose of, a certain type of vitamin C, and it does help with the gout.
It's liposomal, vitamin C.
Okay.
It has increases the ability of absorption. So astragalus is good for your heart. Go-to cola cleans your blood. Yarrow is a digestive aid and helps you with your skin. The sarsaparilla is a 23 natural cortisol, steroids, but your body recognizes it, and it doesn't have the side effects of the pharmaceutical steroids. I take that. I take I can give you a whole list of stuff. I have a whole pharmacy.
What have you been hearing from the Lord lately?
He wants his people just to begin to share with people in the wherever you're at, wherever you be in your now, your today. Today, this is what I was hearing. Our eternity even is, this is part of our eternity even now. We're in eternity. You know, how people say, you know, when you leave, you enter into your eternal. You know, God was telling me today that we are in our eternal. If that makes sense. What you're doing today in your now, your moment, it's part of your eternal.
Now that I asked you that question, I just remembered that in the past 2 days, the Lord was bringing the subject of suicide to me. And all of a sudden, someone sent me something about scriptures about suicide because someone had a brother commit suicide. And then all of a sudden, I was listening to the radio,
And this one man was talking about how he was preaching to, you know, to a church, and they were recording him. And he was saying that when he became born again, he was on fire for God, and he told God that he would never stop to tell anybody that he would meet about him. But something happened to him that he met this young lady, beautiful girl, and, you know, he wanted to have a relationship with her. And on their first encounter where they were talking, sharing telephone numbers and all, he didn't dare tell her that he was a believer, and he didn't tell her anything about God. And so all that night, for days, he was convicted by the Holy Spirit that he needed to tell her something, you know, to share Jesus with her. And he finally did, but the phone took a phone message. And so he left a message and told her that he found her pretty and that he made a mistake and that he had to tell her that he was a believer and that he loved God and he wanted to talk to her more about God and that he wanted to call her later on. So time went by, and he didn't get a call from her. And so he met with some of his church buddies, and one of them was, he knew that it was her brother. So he goes up to her, to him, and says, yeah, well, how's your sister doing? And the guy looked at him. He says, well, didn't you hear? And he goes, no, what happened? He goes, she committed suicide. And he says that broke his heart because he had promised the Lord that he would tell everybody that, you know, that would listen that about the Lord. And he felt so bad. And he says he repented of that. And now anybody that he meets, he always lets them know about Jesus, because you never know what they're thinking, what they're going through, that they need a word. And so older folks are going through that. They feel like there's nobody there, and they're in pain, and they want to end it all. And some actually end up doing it. I have a cousin, a distant cousin, that her son, she didn't tell me, but I found out that they said that he had an accident with his gun. But the thing was that he committed suicide.
That's horrible.
And that topic of suicide seems to be lingering around. A lot of people are, young people are taking that way out, and they don't realize that that's not the way out.
No, unless there's a part, because you're in a hopeless state, and Jesus says, I am the hope. You know what I mean? The hope of glory. You know, your hope is in him.
Mm-hmm.
This
affects anybody, young and old.
Yeah. When people lose their hope in the Lord or in God, you know, his hand in their life, and that he's got a plan, and that he gives you the ability to walk in your day with that love and that joy that's beyond your circumstance. When they lose the grip of that or the sight of that, the enemy usually tries to come in to take you out. You know, it's a hopelessness. It's a bleak darkness. It's a deep, deep depression of there's nothing left. There's nothing to have. There's nothing to look forward to. There's nothing to embrace. It's, you know, you've lost the zeal for life, you know.
and your hope. And it's a sad thing to see. I don't think a person goes to hell, they're believers, but I think that they can get into a dark place where they just can't see past the darkness, because God begins in darkness, because in the beginning it was that he says, let there be light. You know, you're at the beginning stage when you're in the dark. And they need to be told that you're just at the beginning of where God's getting, you know, is creating, and allow that spirit to hover and cover and create in you.
Yes.
Because you just, you need, you know, and I don't believe everybody goes to heaven, but I don't believe everyone that does that goes to hell either. You know what I'm saying?
Well, one recommendation is, anybody feels this way, the first thing they should do is seek God in prayer and in his word, and reach out for help from
right.
someone that they can trust and that will take them seriously, because sometimes they're not taken seriously. If they're teenagers and they try to say something like this to parents, they don't know how to deal with it, and they just don't do anything, and they don't realize that that's dangerous, because this person can't really follow through in what they're thinking. They can go to family, close family members that will listen to them, or go to a ministry or a professional, a doctor. But we
right.
all know that this is the enemy that's trying to come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said that he would come to give us life and more abundantly, because he is the good shepherd. He lays his life down for us. And so anyone that may be going through that, let them know that you love them and that you're there for them to get, you know, help them through this dark time. A lot of it has to do with their health, their eating habits, their sleeping habits. Sometimes it could be something as simple as correcting your sleep patterns. It could be what you're eating. It could be so many things. Sometimes they just need deliverance. They're demons. And so, but since you don't know, it's best to seek counseling from a pastor, to seek prayer from someone that will pray, and for the Holy Spirit to reveal what is behind all of this. And so, first of all, repentance is a good thing. We can't be double-minded, because thinking that way is being double-minded, and God can't bless us when we're thinking, you know, we need to draw near to God and cleanse our hands and repent and purify our hearts before him, and he'll help you, you know, allow him to cleanse you, because you can't do it. And so there is peace in the midst of all of that. I'm noticing a high incidence of anxiety, and it's because people are not spending the time that they need to in prayer, resting in God, seeking God. And so we leave ourselves open to the attacks of the enemy. But it's not always the same thing. Sometimes it is a demonic attack. Sometimes it's due to health. It's due to...
For the longest time, there was a time in my life where I couldn't, when I would drive over a bridge, it would, you know, this thought or voice or whatever you want to say, but you could drive off of this bridge and it wouldn't hurt your family. It would look like an accident, and you wouldn't be suffering anymore. And it was,
funny that you say that. One of my friends had mentioned that this one lady jumped the bridge, but before that she killed her children. That could have been a hormonal incident. She may have been alone, going through so many things, and they suffer quietly instead of opening their mouths and letting other people know. And so when you do hear when somebody's going through that, you know, just don't give them religious cliche.
No,
do
they,
something
they,
about
it. They have hope. And I can remember it was after receiving the gift of speaking in tongues that spirit no longer could do that. But it took that kind of power to overcome that.
Yeah, but, you know, you were a believer, and that may have been an attack. But for those that are unbelievers, don't understand that. I remember this one lady that she was going through depression, and I started praying with her and befriending her. This was many years back, close to 30 years. And then I befriended her, and little did I know she was going through depression. But her depression was due to having an abortion. And it had passed many years, but she was struggling with that. And so I helped her to seek, you know, how to help her. And we realized that, you know, there's forgiveness, you know, and things like that, you know, God does forgive. And so her life started changing, and, she became happy again.
It could also be that someone in their family lineage had done that, and it's kind of passed through the genetics, that depression. And
yes.
You know, so, you know, it's losing the ability to see past the darkness. It's when everything around you is pressing in. And it happens before, usually people in my thinking, or what I perceive, is that it's right before the bursting of something right around the corner that will bring them out, but they stop short. You know, that
I know,
the enemy.
I know of a lady that the reason why this ran in her family was because she opened herself to witchcraft in her home. She invited people to come to her home, and she got involved in Santeria and brujeria. And a family member of this lady told her that the Lord had told her that she needed to stop that, or there will be death in her family. And she didn't listen. She didn't repent of it. She died herself. But there were two incidents of suicide, and I believe two of them, and there was death in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those was this young man that committed suicide with a gun.
Yeah. I had a cousin that shot himself, and I have two in the same part of the family. One was it was a cousin, and then his other cousins. I have two cousins but one was a third cousin, and the other was like a first cousin, it was the second cousin and third cousin that committed suicide.
Yeah, it can be generational, but it can been an open door can be that opened that. And so we have to be careful with the things that we dabble with and repent of it, because if it's still there and no repentance, it was done in the past and you're not doing it anymore, but there has got to be repentance and breaking that off of your bloodline. There's a lot of witchcraft going on, and people don't, you know, they fool around with it. And young people will open their mouths to curse other people, and they don't realize that there's power, you know. If they don't realize that they may be part of something in their family that have power to harm other people. And so that's why when we go out, we need to always wear the armor of God, because we never know who we're going to confront and who we're going to talk to.
So put on that armor of God and always be prayed up, protected, because especially spend time with God, because God will protect you from your enemies. He'll give you the strategies. But if you're doing your own thing, you're not going to realize what God is trying to, you know, guide you away from. If friendships, relationships, new people that come into your life, get them, you know, get prayed up. And not everybody that comes in our lives is supposed to be around us. So especially the young people tend to get into things that they don't have no business getting involved with. And it's so easy nowadays. It's in the movies. It's everywhere. So, you know, just repent and break it off of your bloodline because when you least expect it, the enemy will come in, you know, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life more abundantly. And, you know, he loves us and he'll protect us. But when you do hear somebody that's going under that, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it because that may be their last chance to reach out to somebody before they actually do it. And some people that are dealing with, you know, always being gloomy and depressed and this and that, please don't mess around with that spirit of depression. Please don't allow it in your life because that can get you in so much trouble. It can open doors for things like this, suicide later on. You won't have control over it. It'll have control over you. You see any signs in you that you're dealing with that, deal with it immediately. Deal with it immediately. If you're a believer, deal with it. Take authority over that quickly and don't be messing around with that spirit of depression. Because it will come back, and you may not have the strength to fight it. Don't allow it in. Don't be careful what you speak with your mouth. Your mouth can get you into a lot of trouble. You can openly invite something ignorantly. Like this one lady that says, oh, yeah, I wish my life ended and this and that. And I'm like, you better be careful what you say with your mouth. She's doing it out of wanting pity and wanting to control. It's mainly control, manipulation. But what they don't understand is that they're using those words can actually the enemy, you know, you're giving the enemy an open door. You know, she may be using it to manipulate other people to doing things for her, but it can end up being really sad later on. So be careful what you speak. Amen.
Hey.
Is there anything else you'd like to say, Sister Angie?
No, I just if people are fighting depression, there's a lot of things that you can, you know, I would recommend doing, you know, the supplements, using mushrooms and those type of things to balance your brain.
I would say start with the pastor because you can get to the root of what's really going on. What if it's an attack? What if it's something with the health, with your health? It's not always the same avenue. And so seeking a pastor to pray over you and to, you know, seek counseling, that will help you to get down to the root of things. Sometimes it does have to do with your health, you know, your eating habits. Sometimes it has to do with your thinking, your thoughts. You're allowing idols in your heart, you know, things that are opening doors. And so, you know, we can't put one thing fits all because it's not always the same thing. So, you know, the Holy Spirit, yeah, go ahead.
But a lot of times, you know, there's a lot of things that are attacking people's mental health nowadays because, you know, of the men's hearts faint with fear, as the scripture says. You know, being afraid.
God is not in their life.
Yeah, you know, so there's a lot of factors that take people to that place of darkness.
Yes. It could be a death in the family, a death of a spouse. It could be, you know, so many things. And so the only one that really knows what's going on in there is the Holy Spirit, because that depression and that desire to commit suicide can come from so many avenues. Especially, I've heard even people that have lost their spouses that they've been married for many years, and they start talking that way. They want to die. And so, it's something that needs to be prayed about, and spiritual counseling is the best thing to get down to the root of things. All right. All right, so Sandy, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I just, wanted to touch base with my people. Just have a moment.
Okay. Yeah, we miss you. We always love having you on the show. Well, you have a great week, and continue learning all the things you learn about that are natural. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Good night.
All right. Good night. God bless. All right. Next caller, 951-966, your name and where you're from.
Hi, Carmen. This is Regina.
All right, Regina. All right, I'll be right back. Thank you, Lord, for Regina, Lord. I sense that you're seeing some changes in you, and it could be a different season, but you're not seeing the same you that you've seen before, and you're almost afraid to say anything to anybody because you're noticing the changes in you. And so the Lord says not to fear, because he's there with you. And he'll give you the wisdom to know how to overcome the challenges that you're facing. He's there with you. And it's nothing that cannot be remedied. It can be remedied. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you're going to give Regina, that you're giving her, Father God, and this change that she's going through, that she's noticing, and it can be a little bit scary, and she doesn't know, but you're not going through anything that someone else hasn't gone through. God is there with you, so don't fear. Don't fear. God is there, and he will show you what to do for this next season. And so we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, as she seeks you. You will show her the way. And I see, as you're seeking him, that there's going to be like a shining light on your path to show you where to go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. All right, Regina. Hello. Yes. How are you?
I'm good. True, I've been going through some things lately that I was like, oh, Lord, But, yeah, it was a confirmation because I've been going through, the same thing. It's just like, okay, Lord, I trust God. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's in control of everything. Think back to what he's done already. So that gives me faith.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just know you've done it before, and I know you do it again. Not in my time, but
don't fear that God is there. That's what I heard him. He's there. He's there with you every step of the way. Not to fear. It's nothing that others haven't gone through. You'll make it, and then it'll be a testimony. So.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So amen. How have you been?
Been okay. I've been going through issues with my knee. Kind of hurt my knee at work and just been going back and forth. It's a lot of confusion behind all that. But otherwise, I'm okay. I'm still working, though, so I'm pretty sad for that.
You know what?
you know, those compression knee things where you have a hole in the middle where you could put it on your knees. They are very good. At one time I twisted like my knee, like I stepped wrong and I twisted something and it was hurting for quite a while. And I got to buying one of those compression things, you know, that they're like elasticy, and I put it on my knee. And boy, did that help. That helped kind of like the healing process of the tendon. That helped me so much. It did. And sometimes doctors do prescribe those while you're healing.
Yeah, I have. I think I've purchased every knee. Yeah.
It takes a while for it to heal, but you got to keep on using it.
Yeah, I find that I do have a knee brace that has the elastic that goes around it because that's kind of tight and it rolls down. But I have, you know, that K-tape, the athletic, I forgot what it's called. I know it's K-tape, but it's kinesiology tape, I think it is.
Yeah.
That helps a lot.
Have you ever had a bad back where you sprained your back and you wear a girdle and it helps your back? It sort of is the same technique for your knee. And it allows your tendons and your muscles, you know, to have the time to heal without it being stressed.
Right. Yeah, I have.
Are you there?
Actually, the tape helps. Yes, I'm here.
Hello?
The tape helps with. Yeah, can you hear me?
Hello, Regina?
Yes. Hello? Can you hear me?
Okay, now I hear you.
Oh, I said I have a tape, so that helps it because I can tape it. I've been taping it right where it hurts, but the MRI showed that I had like a torn meniscus.
Well, let's pray over this. Okay.
Okay.
So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know what Regina is going through with her knee. Father God, you are the healer. What are we talking about?
Yes.
Things to put on the knee and all this stuff? No. God, you are the healer, and we're asking you right now that you give a healing touch to our sister right now on that knee. Repair whatever it is that wasn't working, Lord. We just pray for that healing touch, that anointing, Father God. You're Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals us, and we ask for that healing for our sister from her hip all the way down. Anything else that may be out of whack, Lord, we just pray that you bring it back. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for her health and anything else that she may be going through, Lord. We just pray that you just, that healing touch from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, Lord. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, the living God, the God that heals, the God that restores, the God that does all the things that we need. And so we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. We believe. We believe in Jesus' name for that healing right now.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, it was like the Holy Spirit nudged me and says, what are you talking about? I'm here.
Amen.
All these devices and things to do. Yeah, that's okay sometimes, but, you know, he's waiting.
Hello.
Oh, wow. All right, girl. Well, I hope you're feeling better and better every day and that
I am
going done.
To. It will be. Yes, it is done.
It's done in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Is there anything else you like prayer for or anything you want to say, something that the Lord has shared with you that you want to share with us?
Well, I do have a praise report. Like my mom was, well, you know, my mom's 91, and they had a biopsy in her thyroid, so it was looking suspicious. But it came back, we got a call on Thursday that everything came back negative. Was non-cancer.
Thank
God for that. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Wow, 91.
Yes, thank God for 91.
You got some good DNA to follow.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Praise God.
Oh,
yes.
Awesome. That is good news. Yes. That is good news.
Very good news.
Wow.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right, girl. Well, then I pray that good things come your way, and praise God for that good news on her mother, Father God. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
That's good news. That
yes,
is good news.
That is good. Yes,
good
is.
Testimony.
Praise God.
Anything else you'd like to share with
yes.
us?
No, that's it. God again, I just believe and trust that he's going to come through.
Amen.
Well, he's working it out behind
yes.
us. He's working it out. I do believe that.
Yes.
Always working.
Yeah, he did it before. He'll do it again.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, girl. Well, you have a wonderful week. And thank you for that testimony. That was awesome.
You have a good weekend, too. God bless you.
God bless. All right. All right, 832-231, your name and where you're from.
Hello?
Yes, your name and where you're from.
Hello? I'm perfect.
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you repeat yourself?
Tasha from Texas.
Tasha from Texas. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I'll put you on mute and I'll come back. Thank you, Lord, for Tasha from Texas, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I'm sensing there's some gifts and talents that God has put in you, Tasha, that I don't know if you're already walking in it or if you're reluctant to walk in it, but the Lord says he's put some things in you, and he's highlighting that right now. There's some things that he's put in you that he wants you to share in his kingdom if you're not already stepping out and doing it. And so I thank you, Lord, that if there's any fear or anything, that you would help her, guide her, and show her that that you're there every step of the way, that you have put these things in her for your kingdom to touch the hearts of other people. So we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for those talents that you give her to be used for to minister to other people. It's not that you're a minister, but that God is using you to minister to people. There are some things that he has put in you to touch the lives of other people that somebody else can't touch. And so we thank you, Father God, for those things in her. And I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for using her for your glory. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for Tasha, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. All right, let's see. Hi, Tasha. How are you?
Hey, how are you? I'm fine in the name of Jesus. I receive it in Jesus' name.
Yes. Don't fear. Just step out in faith in what God wants to use you in, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
You know, I see that the Lord wants to do in you, and you're going to see how wonderful it feels to minister to other people in ways, and, you know, the changes in other people's hearts with what he does with you and touching them. So,
Maria.
So how are you? What's going on?
I'm wonderful and highly favored and blessed with the word that came out your mouth that God put in your heart. Yes, I mean, I'm excited.
Are you going to church?
Yes, I have been not been going on a regular, but I do go to church.
Okay. Do you do anything at church where you're being used?
I just do Bible. I just really just sit down. I'm not really using my gifts like I should be.
Okay. You know, the thing that comes to my mind is the scripture that I had been reading before, where God uses Moses in Exodus
to move and set the tabernacle in order. And there was different things that different people did. And women, some women were there, and they sewed. They sewed the curtains. They did things that they knew how to do.
Mm-hmm.
They had talent that they had that they knew how to do. And so without them, they couldn't have made the tabernacle beautiful and made the curtains look like if it was just one whole big piece because of the talents of these women. And they did this out of love for the for God to help out. Let's see, where is that at? Let me see if I find it.
Okay.
And I found it so interesting. I was like, wow, he used men, women. He used everybody that allowed themselves to be used.
Amen.
And so, I mean, God needs you. He can use anybody else, but, you know, we actually receive a blessing when we are obedient to doing Amen. What God says. Amen? Let's see. Let me look Amen. For that. All right. I think it was 35. Okay. Exodus 35, where he starts off with the Sabbath rest, and then he talks about the linen and all the parts of the tabernacle. Oh, my goodness, where is it? It's in Exodus 35. So he says, and all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. They did goat's hair. Verse 25, it says, and all the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and bought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. So women were used, you know, and they did this because they loved God. And so each one of them brought their talents into the tabernacle. The tabernacle today is the church. And so, but we are the church. So wherever God takes you and uses you, God can use you anywhere. It doesn't have to be under the roof of a church. It could be anywhere you go. And so God, this is what I'm sensing that God is wanting you to know and understand. That there's some things he put in you for his kingdom. So step out. Don't be afraid. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I receive it in Jesus' name. I could you pray for my finances, please?
Sure. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Tasha's finances, Father God. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the wisdom that you're giving her to bring things in order. I thank you, Lord, that you're connecting her with people that understand about finances and that she will gain wisdom from. And I thank you, Lord, because as she does, she's going to see things getting better and better. And so
thank you, Jesus.
One thing I'm going to tell you, this is what I'm sensing, that once you get things in order, don't go back because it's going to be harder. So as you move forward, don't go back in the same ways of dealing with finances. You stick with it and you keep moving forward, little by little. So because sometimes people want quick fixes and how it works is the long run, doing what's right in the long run. And so God is going to give you, but as you seek him first and you put him first, I know that I didn't have a lot of money, you know, as a wife, a military wife, and with three children. It was hard, but I will always give my tithe. And I tell you, nothing ever lacked. I never lacked in anything. My family never lacked. I trusted the Lord, but that has to be you and the Lord. And so if I had $10, I would give $1. If I had $100, I'd give $10. And I would always, you know, put God first
in what, mm-hmm. you know, concerned my finances.
Mm-hmm.
But I also mm-hmm. did things and I learned things to keep my finances in order, paying my bills on time. That also helps
mm-hmm.
your credit. There's different things that God's going to start showing you how to go
mm-hmm.
about dealing with your finances. And you can start
Amen.
Little by little. I've heard testimonies of people that they have gotten divorced and they had nothing and they were broke. The husband took everything and they end up in a little apartment and here comes all this stuff. And God gave them new ways to reinvent themselves.
Amen.
To do things that they never did before and they were scared. And
mm-hmm.
so once they stepped out, they weren't probably, you know, great at what they did at first. But as they got, they kept doing it, they got better and better and better. And they ended
better.
Up buying a home, a little home, a beautiful little
mm-hmm.
home. And God gave them wisdom on going thrifting to fix their home. And, I mean, you would think that they spend a whole bunch of money, but.
Mm-hmm.
God gave them wisdom. They bought beautiful things for their home at a fraction of the cost because
mm-hmm.
they were at the right place at the right time, knowing what to buy and things that made them happy, but they didn't,
mm-hmm.
they budgeted. And God
mm-hmm.
gave them. And so sometimes you need to, you know, look for those that are wise in those things that have been proven in their own lives to
mm-hmm.
seek counsel from them. Maybe at your church there might be somebody that counsels over finances and you can take a class or something like that. And that'll help you, you know, to get started. There's
mm-hmm.
things online, godly counselors that you can get, you
mm-hmm.
know. And you just pray and ask the Lord to connect you with those people that will give you wisdom on how to get your finances in order. And so, Father,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray for a good
mm-hmm.
job. A job that
yes,
she's
Lord.
Able to do, give her favor in that place, Father
yes,
God.
Lord.
Help her to create a good resume because a lot of times getting your foot in, but it's you, Lord, giving us favor. So I pray
yes,
for the
Lord.
Favor of God that you give her
yes,
everything
Lord.
She needs, that she'll be in the right place at the right time.
Yes,
and
Lord.
That, Father God, her life will turn around for your glory
yes,
and that
Lord.
She will give
yes,
you
Lord.
Praise and testify of your
yes,
good, goodness in Jesus'
yes,
name.
Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus'
Amen.
Name, amen.
All
thank
right.
you, sister, for the prayer. Thank you so much. And I receive
You're
it in
welcome.
Jesus' name. Okay, thank you.
Amen, amen. All right, bye-bye. God bless. All right, 404-453, your name and where you're from.
Carmen.
One minute. It's, all right, yes. Who's this?
No. Hello.
Yes. Who's
Can
this?
You hear?
And where are you from?
Hi, Carmen. This is Madeline from Georgia.
Hi,
Hi.
Madeline. All right. Let me put you on mute, and I'll be right back. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Madeline from Georgia. Thank you, Lord, for my sister's life, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I see, like, I'm going to just say it. I see, like, before you holding cupcakes, I guess the Lord is having you to work with children, and I see you not only sharing cupcakes, you're sharing God with them. So I see you holding a pan that has the cupcakes in them, and so you're going to be, I'm not sure if you've already ministered with them or you're going to, but ministering it, and it seems like they're little girls. I don't know what that's all about, that you're going to be used to minister. I don't know if it's in church or where, but you're going to be used to do that. There's an assignment that God has for you. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing it with Madeline, Father God, with these children, Father God. I pray that you give her the wisdom, the words to guide them, And so we just thank you, Lord, because all ages are important. And so we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in her life and the life of these children in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hi,
hey,
how are you?
Hi, sweetheart. How are you? It's good to hear your voice. It's good. Well, with the cupcakes, yes, and tomorrow I will be my oldest daughter. I was telling the church to meet at a Golden Corral to the restaurant to celebrate a birthday. So I didn't get a cake, but I was thinking of the cupcakes. And yes, I have and started working with children in the church and outside the church. Matter of fact, I was in South Carolina where I escorted a young lady that was in college. She's a freshman, and unfortunately she was attacked by another student and, you know, the bullied, and so there was a court. But her mom is incarcerated, and auntie couldn't go, nobody could go. So I drove her, and we went to court, and God was awesome. It was just awesome. And I stood in the gap, and it was girls. Yeah, mostly. Girls.
Yeah, because that's what girls. I saw, pink cupcakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I knew that those cupcakes meant ministering to girls. I thought it was more, you know, children, but yeah, there you go.
Amen.
I saw in part, yeah. But there's more to it.
But it's always wonderful. I haven't been long come in because I usually sometime, well, this time I took my grandkids some dinner with Dairy Queen, Chick-fil-A, and all that stuff. So sometime, like you said, assignment, sometime I'm out, you know, giving out food, clothing, or somebody that needs something. But the assignment has been basically on children, and mostly it's been little girls. And I've been noticing how the Lord is the girls. I came in on a little bit of you ministering to the other person, but you mentioned about in the word about the tapestry, it's things that God put in us to make, to do. And we need that back in the body of Christ. Home economics, things that that they can take care of themselves and enjoy it. And the elders, you know, teaching trades, teaching the children in a good inheritance, like you were saying, military. We were faithful and thankful over the least, and God rewarded us much. I can remember those days, but that was the days when God, he was centerfold on everything. And so that's been my prayer, that the children will be left or can see the good inheritance of Jesus Christ in their homes, and they'll get to know him, you know. So, yeah, I've been working with, they're so tiny all the way up until adults. God is just, you know, restoring. It's time. He gave me a 5-year rest to be able, built up myself and to seek him, and I start anew, refreshed. So yeah, thank you.
Well, the Lord is confirming it to you.
Yes, he did. And I tell you, they are so awesome. And I just want to be able to give back and help and be there, you know. So most of them call me grandma. And kids teach other kids. So they said, that's not your grandma, that's your grandma. And so I just stand in the gap for them. But, yeah, that's exactly what was going on. And that's the assignment. Now that it's well, even more confirmed. So I will say, okay, and, yeah, he got me. Yeah, it's an assignment, all right. So he was sharing with me that, you know, I work in a dental office like you, and he was just letting me know little bit by little bit, he's calling me off the job, you know, so that I can meet the needs of these girls and, you know, their parents and whatever else he wants me to do. I said, okay. You got it. So
well,
that's
that
it,
is an important assignment. Girls need somebody to introduce them to the Lord the right way from the beginning, and not many get that opportunity. Not many do. But, oh, you're blessed, and they will be even more blessed.
Oh, amen, Lord. And thank you, Carmen, for confirming. I thank the Lord. He usually had me to jump in, you know, that when you're seeking him, he'll give you answer. He'll confirm. And that was it, you know, that I know that, okay, you got it. And when you said the assignment, that just really revelated me, you know, of excitement, because I was asking him what, and that this is actually an assignment that I see that he wants me to do. Yeah. So I praise the Lord for you.
You know, to have confirmation that, you know, you're on the right track, that
yes.
to do something that God wants you to do. That feels so good, you know.
Oh,
I wish God would sometimes be that clear to me. It's always a surprise. I'm like, God, make it clearer to me.
I know.
Mine is in airports and, you know, strange places where you don't have normally go to minister
right,
to people
right.
that, you know, you can, oh, my God.
Right.
But I make myself available, and that's what you're doing. You're making yourself available. And so,
awesome.
You know. Like one day I was at the airport and I said, okay, Lord, mm-hmm. I have finished eating. I ate my sandwich. I drank my coffee. And I was a happy camper. And I said, okay, Lord, who do you want me to minister to? So I get in the airplane.
Yeah.
And a man walks up and, oh, you're in my seat. He tells this one lady on the opposite side of the lane. He goes, you're in my seat.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, he goes, never mind. I go, there's one right here. And he goes and sits there. And God had him cornered in that window. All through the whole trip, God had me ministering to him. That man even cried. He was over 60-something. I saw him even, you know, wiping his tears. And I was like, oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah.
Carmen. That is so awesome. That's exciting when we could be about our Father's business with joy and be in that person's place that God is answering. We just need to go. He said, here am I, send me.
Exactly.
I said, I'll go.
Right.
I'll go. You want me to go? I'll go. And
I remember
that is so
one
cool.
time when I was young, I did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know, I'm going to say,
yeah.
but I didn't realize this man was a gangbanger and he was bad business. But God had me ministering to him, and I know he doesn't. He won't forget me. I've had strange, and so a lot of it has been with men. You know, he's taking me to places where, you know, you have to be bold.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot in common on that. because God, it is so awesome how he does, because there's no fear and there's no question over your head. Well, should I do? We're just little sheep just going to the Lord like, okay, no. And you're right. You see people exactly where they need, and the Lord introduces himself. And we just got to be about his business, denying ourselves. He'll take care of us, you know, and feed and stuff like that. But I also know that the exercise in the faith and build up yourself, because as we pour out, he give people for our lives too. And hearing you minister to the other woman, you know, that God is, you know, doing things. We have to look into our own hearts and see, it's like regular check to see what's not of the Lord in there. Because in the humanness and being born into sin and walking in our own ways, we don't know that you are doing wrong until God reveals and remove the blinders and take out the plugs out of your ear. And you got to have a heart to want to do his will and want to change yourself so that light can shine. And I just recently, 2 weeks ago, my brother passed, and we share the same age for a week. And so my birthday was in February and his. And I so wanted to reach out and wish him a happy birthday. But God did this thing so awesome, because my brother and I at one time was not speaking, and it wasn't my choice. The family was divided, things, you know. And, but I remember my brother being so angry with me about, I don't know why, and because of other stuff that he thought, you know, that I had or doing with our parents. That wasn't the truth. But I just prayed for him. But God allowed to separate, and he was just walking like the Wild Wild West. And so, but before he passed, he died of cancer, and but they gave him 6 months to live, but he had 2 years. But he went through, from that point after surgery, he went through getting it right and telling people he's sorry and telling his sons to, you know, live right and forgive. Oh. And I was able to sense that in the spirit when he was transitioning. And so I went, yeah. It was just all God, because if we're the body of Christ, don't start praying, don't start doing what we're commanded to do by God, then there's no difference between them and us. We'll just be willingly blind and willingly deaf and dumb. And we just need to repent of some things as God, just like I look at Paul's life. You know, he was murdering the Christians. Nobody could talk to him and get close to him was Jesus. He had to come himself. It's like, okay, guys, this one for me, you know, because people are afraid or don't want to hear all of this new stuff out, energy and mixing the world and astrology, all these reading and stuff, but there's no heart and mind changed. And it starts with us. And so we'll have a story to tell with experience, you know, like you can see something that reminds you of something instead of being quiet and said, well, you know, that's none of my business. It is our business if we're born again. And so if you can't talk, you can sure pray and turn over that plate, you know, and
yeah.
God
answers
us. Yeah, he said, I answer the prayers of the righteous, and I answer them all. So with our loved ones and being divided like that, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us in truth. I know it come in part, but we'll get the whole logistics of it if we really, really want wholeness for not just ourselves, but our loved ones and neighbors, and as God tells us to do according to his word. So it's really time in this time,
you know,
to get in.
But I've learned something in all of this, you know. In all families, you'll learn things of other people and their true colors. But all God wants us to do is to learn to forgive. You can't. That doesn't mean that that's going to change that other person.
Right.
But it's going to change you. It's going to change
that's
you.
Right.
And so
that's
we can't carry a false burden about why these other people are not changing. We can't. We're not God to make them change. Just like we have to repent, they have to repent.
Amen. That's right.
And so
that's
we don't
right.
carry this false weight on us because they refuse to act right.
That's right.
You know, we
you
pray
just,
for them, and that's it.
Yeah.
And we leave it in God's hands. Yeah. Only God can be able to deal with the heart. And just like I was talking about, you know, the high places, that's in our heart.
Yeah.
Those high places are in our heart. We, you know, when we put things there that are not supposed to be there and God is supposed to be in that place, well, then you've got some trouble. You got some trouble.
Yeah.
Because when you start doing that, then, you know, then God's got to deal with you in a different manner. And so we have to ask God, deal with them. Deal with them the way you need to deal with them.
Amen.
You know, and as long as they get into heaven, I mean, but we have to be careful
Amen.
With our prayers. That's why it's best to pray in tongues, because our flesh
Amen.
Can get in the way. So, Lord, I
Amen.
Forgive them, and that doesn't mean one time. It means over and over and over again, because sometimes the things that our family members and people do to us is hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
we have to over and over pray for them and ask God to, you know, help them to see they're wrong and to come to his feet, to get to know him as their Lord and Savior, so that they can also be part of the kingdom and be used, not just die, you know, but be used for God's kingdom. Because God has also put things in them that he wants to use for his kingdom, too. You know, it's not just, okay, save them and take them. No. No, save them and use them.
Yes,
use them. Give them a testimony. Yeah, give them a testimony so that they realize that, you know, their religiosity or their greed or whatever the case may be is wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And that they can
That's
tell other
good.
People, well, I was religious and I did wrong, and look what I thought I was the best, and it was wrong. God straightened me out.
That's
so
you
we
know,
gotta say some strong prayers. Go ahead.
I was gonna say that is so true. I've experienced that when I. Younger, you know, back in the day, I went before the Lord and I was praying to the Lord for my brother and my aunt. And the Lord stopped me and said, do not send those prayers up to me. I will not answer them. And I said, well, Lord, he's done this, he gave this, he did that, she did this, this, that. And so he would not, he said, do not. So he, Lord has a sense of humor. You know, we have this relationship with him. I said, why, Lord? Why not? You know, and he sent me to his word. And it was in Proverbs, I believe, or Proverbs of back then, Proverbs. And he was talking about, he was explaining in his word that they're in and out, silly women in and out houses drinking, and said the his tongue was like butter, but his heart was full of evil. And he was saying that about my aunt, the things they were into. And so I even tried, Karma, to squeeze out a tear. Oh, God, at my eyes got so dry, they hurt. So I got up and I didn't know whether he had other people praying, I guess. But for me, he would not. He said, do not. And like you said, God knows the heart and the mind of folks and the things he had to go through. But the Lord put me aside. You know, I was about his business. And so so I understood that. But when our birthdays came and I turned 70 and what his promises was and he turned 71, God was transitioning, but he had let me know through joined a church, through helping, through getting his family right, went back to his ex-wife saying he was sorry because he judged our father. He judged people harshly and he judged. But there was a peace. But like you said, that was God's business. But God is awesome. We just better stick with him, how he does it, and try our own hearts, because you don't know what's in there until he reveals it, because it'll come up, it'll come out. And this I know for myself. So these are the testimonies with experience in these times that God is using to help people, you know, to see, to at least seek after him. You know, we just got to be prayerful. And like you said, praying in tongues, yes, yes, yes. And some things I could talk to him in English for me. So it all depends on.
Well,
but
I mean,
God awesome.
Was showing me the other day that he says, when the enemy comes, that could be family too. When the enemy comes, they have to be careful that they don't put their mouth on you as a child of God.
Amen.
Because if they do, and you're truly walking with the Lord, they're going to face God's judgment. And it's not that we want to have them be judged, but you know, sometimes people in their craziness, they start putting their mouth on you, and then they end up losing their life.
Amen.
They end up losing their life. That's what the Lord was showing me when they were coming against Isaiah, and that he knew that the enemy, you know, the king was going to come against it and talking a lot of stuff and saying that, that they were going to get, you know, beat up and all this stuff. But the king was, Hezekiah went to Isaiah and he prayed for them. Mm-hmm. And so the king got clobbered. The enemies got killed because they were coming in for them.
I know.
And they didn't. They weren't able to. They got what they were wanting to give to Hezekiah.
Yes, ma'am.
But Isaiah
prayed
opposite. You know, and so when we do serve the Lord, it's not that you don't, you know, you want evil to come on anyone. But God, you know, that's something that God taught me a long time ago. He says, they're going to hit judgment. He says, don't worry about them.
Yeah.
Don't worry about their faces because they're going to hit judgment. A wall of bronze. And
but
however that judgment is, that's up to God.
That is so true. That's why I don't even look back, go aha or this and that. I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? We're his children. So pay attention to what he's talking about. And I've experienced that through the years. So I don't take it lightly. When he say no and say, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm, he means exactly that. And then
he'll expose them. He'll expose everything that they're doing in hiding.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I have seen it. I have known it. And it's very real. He'll just, he'll move it. He said, okay, that's enough of that. And he will. And so, but, you know, we just have to be according to his will, his business, because we love him. We love him more. We get to love him even more and understand a relationship of building with him. What he wants, and that's something that we stay in contact with him. But it's been with me is like praying for the children, really praying for children. And it's been on my heart of children, not only that girls, women, you know, that unnatural things and not being in their place. And so,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So
yeah.
But y'all are awesome. I'm so glad that the Lord let me hear confirmation. Now I can keep it going. I can, I said, got it. Okay, I can check that off. I can do that. So I really thank God for you, Carmen, and Randy, and the PGN family. Y'all are awesome. Praying and helping, and we're just going to see Jesus, and I've seen him last
mm-hmm.
in January. Yeah, so it's good. You're such a blessing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Well, I'm glad that God is using you, and I'm so sorry to hear about your brother, but he's in a good place now because he got his life right. Maybe any other way, he probably wouldn't have gotten right. And like they say, sometimes people get into heaven by the skin of their teeth. I don't know if that's true.
Right.
But he got in. You know,
he got in.
He got himself right with others. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so how many people get that opportunity to repent before they die? Some people just die.
Amen. And the thing about it, he was born on February 23rd, and he died on February 23rd.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
wow,
it was something going on, but he was letting me know that it was all right because the store was closing. I was out, and I didn't know why. And I felt somebody bump into me because the store was closing. You know, they would turn out the lights and saying, bring all your items. And I felt someone bump up into me and, like, standing behind me. And I looked around. There was no one. So I kind of clenched my pocketbook a little bit, but I wasn't afraid. It was just like, I know somebody bumped. Did somebody rush up on their butt? Where did they go? You know, but I fell instead. And,
mm-hmm.
and to make a long story short, years ago, I wanted to see my brother, and I prayed while I was coming from Miami to Atlanta, and I said, I would like to see him. Well, the family picked me up from airport. We went to a restaurant. I was standing ordering, and someone bumped up behind me and was standing over me, and I turned around. It was my brother. And so God was just letting me know all is well. And come 12 o'clock, right before then, I was asking God, I would like to call him or see him for his birthday. God, I just save him. Just make it right with him. Let him make it right. And I had such a peace. And so I finally came home and praying and went to bed. And that morning, the his ex-wife, matter of fact, called me and said that he passed. And but the other thing that God had a tangible sign, I heard a train in the distance, just in the spirit, or I heard a train, and I said, Lord, who? Because that's how he's been showing me people getting on this train, getting out of here. And so that morning, his wife had gotten up to go buy balloons and kind of be cheerful. She said because he wasn't speaking as much and it was weak. And she said she kept calling him. He wouldn't answer. And she you know, got beside him, and she said, oh, my God, I need to call 911. It was no movement. But I knew at 12 o'clock he transitioned. And he lived long
things.
Enough to be his birthday.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
I knew when my grandmother passed away. I could sense it, and I knew it already.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah.
I had a friend that I didn't have a phone. My mom had called her, and then the next morning she calls me. She comes, picks me up for church, and says, you know, your mom called and let me know that your grandmother passed away last night. And I go, I know, because I felt it last night. I could feel it.
Wow.
I could feel her.
Wow, like, I know. Isn't that something? You can. Yeah, you really can.
So, and with my grandfather, the same thing, but it wasn't good for him because what I felt was a dark cloud, a big dark cloud wanting to come in through the living room, and I was in prayer.
Wow.
And when I looked, I was like, in the name of Jesus, get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
And all day I was like uneasy. I was like, something's up. Somebody, and I called my son. It wasn't him. Then I called my mom, and my mom says, oh, I was about to call you. Your grandpa just passed away. And I was like, I knew something was, and I go, I don't think he went. I told her, I know he went. She was his daughter, but I said, I don't think he went to heaven. And I go, I'm sorry to tell you. I know my grandmother, she did. The Lord confirmed it to me.
Yeah.
But my grandfather,
yeah.
I mean, he knew a lot of Bible, about the Bible. He knew about the Lord, but he didn't know the Lord. And that's why I preach the way I preach. Get it right. Get
Amen.
It right. Get your heart right. Because I don't want, I know I have family members that are in hell. I don't want nobody else to go to hell.
Amen.
I don't want
Amen,
nobody else
Carmen.
To go to hell.
Amen,
you know.
Carmen. Amen. I agree. It's easy talk. You can mimic, you can do all that. But if the heart ain't right, and you are so right about that. So right about
mm-hmm.
that. And that's the,
so,
that's the part that's not good, to know that burning in eternity in hell,
mm-hmm.
never, mm-hmm. never able to repent, never able no more. Oh, Lord, we'd just be about his business and believe and go on. Oh, Lord, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I'll open my mouth. I'll open my mouth. I'll say things because I never know. You know,
yes,
I don't want anybody to go to hell.
Me either.
Even if it's men. Men are a little tough, and they'll give you this all this and that, and, you know, I'll give it to them. I'll talk it to them. You're going to listen.
Look, that's real love right there, telling the truth that at least you heard and want them to hear the change, you know, but just have to, Lord, oh, yeah, Carmen, I know
I
that to be true.
You know, a prayer of salvation on them. I let them make up their mind, but I give it to them straight.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I give it to them
yeah.
straight about their infidelity, because I could pick it up when I'm around them. And I'm like, you know, and then I'll start
Amen.
Talking about stuff, and I'm like, why am I talking to this guy about this? I go, wait a minute, it's probably that he's into this. And they're like, got my attention. I get their attention, and they pay attention.
You get their attention.
And so
yes,
I give them a lot to think about when they go home. So,
Amen.
No, but we got to open our mouths. We got to say what God wants us to say, not be afraid of their faces. Give it to them. Let them deal with it.
After. Yeah, I agree with you on that. That's true, because that's real love, because it's been said, nobody ever told me. It isn't no. We got responsibility to do the work of the ministry, how God equips us to do. And you got to be about his business. And be examine yourself. You know, if it's not right, we have to say it, you know, so they can get it right or renounce it or, you know, or
yeah,
turn
you
it
don't
around,
know
get it right.
You're the last person that they're going to talk to. We don't know that.
Amen.
I got that in my spirit thought. Tomorrow's not guaranteed to anybody.
That's true.
And sometimes I got to get tough and ugly with some people that I love. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm not talking to you like a sister. I'm talking to you like a prophet. Blam, 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 blam.
There you go. You have to, it. Look, you're not to be accountable for it. I mean, it's so serious. It's so serious. It needs attention right now. I mean, it's real serious.
I mean,
it's right now.
Even,
it's a right now.
Yeah, even if I'm not liked later on, even if it's my loved ones, that they don't want to hear it. But I have to say it. Even though they don't like it, but they'll know that I open my mouth to say it. Sometimes, you know, you have to be delicate sometimes in how you say it. But, you know, you can feel it. You can feel it.
You can.
But,
you know, especially when you get real, you know, you get real on it, because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you in what to say. It's just like, okay, I'm going in.
Well, it's like I was talking about suicide earlier. Suicide, you don't know. You have to open your mouth and say when the Holy Spirit says, say something. You don't know if you'll have another opportunity or how this person is feeling, or if you're the last person they'll will encounter and hear a word of God. And so we got to stop, you know, we got to get over ourselves.
Amen.
We got
Look, He put it to us. He equipped us. How we and others confirm it, but we just gotta live it to speak it, because these are important days that are ahead, and we better pay attention and get everything, you know, taken care of, and be watchful and prayerful, you know, be ready to obey the Holy Spirit, in which He leads and guides in all truth. So I understand you very well, what you're saying. And it's like we have the same, like, kin spirit, because that's how it is. It's like, oh, see something. That's not what that is. It's like, what?
Well, walk in love, but, you know, give it to them, because love is not quiet. Mm-hmm. Love will open their mouth to say something to somebody.
Oh, I like that.
You know, you
got
to love people.
Love is not quiet.
Yeah. You're going to open your mouth and say it. Say what they have to hear, because you're not loving them if you're not saying anything. But you have to also, you know, make sure that it's the Holy Spirit, because we can botch it up.
I know what you say. That you, Lord? Wait a minute. So I'm getting all queer here.
Is there anything else you want to share tonight?
No, it's just it'd be a prayer to move forward, putting things in perspective, passport, business, you know, being more mindful of where monies are going, you know. I would like to invest, and just pray for my family, my son. You know, he was standing and preaching a word, and that he can just get balanced out, my adult kids. It's just them, and especially even my husband, that he'll be able to administer the truth and live by it, so that, you know, we can go on in our senior years of worthwhile, and that he'll pay attention to what God is calling him to do. I'm seeing distractions of holding, you know, things down, and I just need to put some business and things in perspective. You know, I'm moving forward in that. So, yeah. That's it.
Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you hear my sister's prayer. You hear her heart. You know all things that she's dealing with and what she wants, Father God. You know the her heart's desires, Father God. Father, in the name of Jesus, it all begins with seeking you first. And I just pray that, Father God, that she stays focused on seeking you first and all these other things will be added. All these other things will fall in place as she hears you and as she puts you first in everything. So, Lord, we just thank you, Father God, that as she seeks your face, that she adores you and that she puts your kingdom first, Father God, that she will know exactly where all these other things need to to go and where what she needs to do. As far as her son, Father God, we lift him up to you, Father God, and whatever distractions there may be, Father God, we just pray, Father God, that you bring him to his senses, bring him back. Bring him back and
Lord.
Help him see, Father God, that what he needs to do, that just give him tunnel vision for the things of God and that he won't see these things that are sidetracking him, Father God,
whatever those
things may be. And so we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for dealing with his son and helping him, Father God, with your love and just wooing him towards you.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father God, for the whole family. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, that you would use them for your glory, that you would use them, that you would touch them, that as they have their lives in order, that they would help other people to know how to have their lives in order, too. And so we thank you, Father. We believe you. We trust in you. We know that all things are possible because we have you.
Yes.
The God, the living God, the God of anything is possible. So we praise you.
Thank you, Lord.
All things are possible with God. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Thank you, Father.
And Lord, we look to lift Prophet Randy, too. We ask you, Father God, to lead him and guide him in everything that he's going through and that, that he sees every step of the way what he needs to do, that he just won't move when you say don't move. And, you know, we know that he knows when to stop and when to go. So we just pray that you give him more of that, that you give him more clarity, that he can hear your voice so clearly and sharper and sharper every day, especially with these days that we're living, Father God. And so we thank you for Prophet Randy and the ministry of PGN. We pray, Father God, you minister and touch the ministers, Father God, protect each and every one of us. Prophet Randy, Father God, and that your angels be round about us and all the PGN family, Father God, that you use each and every one of them, even those that are not on the radio as ministers, and that even those that call in, that you use them for your glory.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, God.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus'
Thank
name.
You,
Amen. I touch and agree with that prayer and that it go forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, girl.
All right. Love you much, and God bless everybody, and good. Have a blessed night. And may the Lord continue to bless you, Carmen, and watch over you, and thank you for the heart of God and the heart of people to bring them to the light, and may your every need be met. In the name of Jesus, even those things you haven't even spoken of. And Father, we just thank you to continue to watch over her, the neighborhood, the community. And as she goes and comes, Lord God, give her peace and the joy and the serenity that's due her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, girl. Well, you have a wonderful, blessed week.
You too. We'll be talking again soon. Bye-bye.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye. All right. I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you and may his face shine upon you and give you peace. Have a great week. Know that God is on your side. But remember, you have to be on his side for him to be on your side, too. It's like you can't just be doing your own thing. So I hope that you listen to remember 2 Kings 12:3, But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense in the high places. Remember, that was the mistake that king made. He didn't remove the high places. So we need to remove the high places in our heart in order to be able to make the right repairs, the breaches of the house to be repaired. There's things that have to be repaired in our lives. So I just pray that you remember that you can do all the things you want to do, but if you're not dealing with the inside, then the outside is all you're going to do is you're laboring in vain. So God bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and have a great week. And if God willing, we'll be here next week. God bless. Good night.